The show is Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Thank you, Brett Baer, for the lead-in there. And thank you, everybody listening, for joining us. Man, we got a pile of housekeeping stuff to get to this week, Dave.
Yeah, it sounds like our little segment on the hunt book and tag stuff got quite the responses. So thanks, everybody, for shooting us an email.
Yeah, emails, texts. You can always text. It's 775-884-9910. Right off the rip, Dave, party tags. You want to talk about that?
Let's talk about party tags.
Okay, there's still some confusion out there, and I'll let you correct me because I think I'll say this clearly enough, but just in case.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will. So if you apply and draw as a party, if you all turn in your tags, you all get your bonus points back.
Correct, yes.
If one member of the party turns their tag in, that party member does not. They lose their bonus points.
Correct. And that can go all the way to, so let's say hypothetically you have five people you put in as a party for cow elk. And four of you turn in your tags and one person still goes and hunts. Those four people that turned in their tags, if they have bonus points, have now lost them all.
Gotcha.
And so everybody has to turn the tags in.
The reason behind this that we were kind of chatting about off air is you used to be able to call it game the system, I guess.
Yeah, it's just work the system.
Yeah, you could have one member. So like you use the example of somebody's grandmother.
It was a legit thing.
Okay, so, you know, every year you put in as a party and then, you know, your grandmother decides that I'm using air quotes for people listening. Your grandmother decides that she is going to turn her tag in and everybody in the party, everybody else still hunted, but got their bonus points back, right?
So they wouldn't get their bonus points back, but grandma would not lose her bonus points. Grandma or Joe Schmo's wife or sister or kid or whomever.
Right.
So the issue was, and it was tracked, so it wasn't like this was something that came up and without any type of backing. You know, there was research to this, but there was a very big trend where they would have somebody in the party, grandma, wife, brother, whomever, that may or may not have ever hunted, but they were put in so that they could basically have a bank account of bonus points for when they put in for the party tags, the deer tags, the cow tags, the shorter than ears antelope tags. So every year, this particular person would be put in to the party with 10, 15, 20 points. They would draw because, you know, whoever it was had 20 points, but then that person would turn their tag in, keep their points, and then the rest of the party would go hunt. So every year it just happened that
you'd have one member with 20 plus points.
One member would have a bunch of points. So they were basically using that person as like a bank account, kind of working the system to make sure that they had a better chance of getting tagged. So once that was kind of discovered, it was like, okay, here's the remedy. And that was the remedy, was what we had just stated, that everyone in the party would have to turn in their tags in order to keep bonus points.
And that seems fair to me.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps everything at a level playing field.
One more thing on the party tags. With the points, it's averaged across all members of the party.
Correct.
For the sake of argument, let's say five people put in, one member has 10 points, the other members have no points.
You go everybody, into the draw.
Yeah. You go into the draw, everybody is, all five members are looked at as having 2 points.
The party's looked at as having 2 points as a party. You know, if you keep your party smaller and one person has a good chunk of points, you know, it kind of weighs in your favor. If you let the party go too big, then those points get thinned out even more.
Okay, so it makes sense to find somebody with like a dozen points and put in as a party of three if you don't have a ton.
Yeah, okay. Something like that.
So, correct.
Give or take. Correct. Correct, okay. Henry. Correct.
So I think we've sufficiently muddied the waters on party tag. No.
Yeah, so, but, yeah.
I hope,
I started losing myself there for a second. I'm like, okay, wait a second. So you carry the 7, subtract 4. Yeah, I started... threw myself off.
No, it's sincerely thanks for the text on this stuff. And yeah, when we talked about it off air, it was clear and concise. And then we get on and it's like, oh, wait a second. Here, let me throw out an example that I got to think through.
Well, yeah, then you throw out an example with 5. Let's make this easy. So there's 5 people.
Oh, no, man.
Break it up.
All right. That's party tags in a nutshell. Hey, more housekeeping stuff to get to. I want to bring up Capital City Gun Club. They need volunteers for the youth shoot they do every year.
Yeah.
It's May 18th, so it's the weekend before Memorial Day. And you get, basically, they're paying you in tokens. You get, I think it's like a couple tokens per hour you volunteer down there. Well worth it. Go support them with the
closing. And what's a token worth?
It depends on the game.
Did so I just muddy the water?
You muddied the waters. You get some tokens. Trap is worth, you need a certain amount of tokens. Sporting Clays is worth another per bird. So
is it per bird or per bird per round?
I don't know.
We'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, you get tokens,
you
folks.
You get tokens. Don't lose them.
Hey, get out there, volunteer. Let's see. Oh, snakes. So somebody sent me a text. Rattlesnakes are out and about, confirmed.
Yeah, they're starting to show up. There's a few spots in the Reno Sparks area that are well known for snake colonies.
Golden Eagle, one of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Golden Eagle for sure is one of them. There's a spot up here, South Reno, over near the, not Montreux, above Arrow Creek a little bit.
Yep.
There's a couple big rock outcroppings up there that can house quite a few.
Those south-facing slopes up behind Galena High School on the other side there.
On the other side there, dropping down into, I forgot the name of that canyon, but yes.
Yeah.
Yep, there. So, yeah, everyone, just start thinking about getting your dogs into the snake training courses.
Yeah,
what are they?
The avoidance.
Avoidance. Yep. Snake avoidance courses. If you've got a pup or a dog that's not real familiar or has not been through that course, it'd be a really good time to start thinking about that and getting yourself on those lists. And just be aware when you're out hiking and adventuring and such, because they are starting to come out. And definitely please look at the books. Know your snakes.
Well, I was going to say, too, spring, when it's cooler in the mornings and the evenings, they're kind of lethargic. They may be slow to rattle. Let's see. Oh, NBU banquet, absolutely phenomenal. My daughter won a pair of Vortex Ranger or Razor binos.
Yeah, she's so lucky.
Kid walked out with loot.
She
tons
did.
Of stuff.
Backpacks.
Yep.
Binoculars. You need to take her to more shows.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. That was her first one, and she was absolutely awestruck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And she cleaned house.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. It's like the kid that shoots a 200-inch buck their first hunting season.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to explain to her on the ride home, hey, this isn't typical. You don't these are nicer binos than I have.
Yeah. They don't listen.
No. She just thinks that's what happens now.
Yeah, it's like my son when he shot his first antelope with a bow at, I think, 14.
Oh, and you said it was a big one.
It was a monster. It was high 80s.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I said, don't ever expect this again. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, trust me. Just don't ever expect.
Where do you go from there?
This. Yeah, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't. You just stop hunting that animal.
That's a one and done. Man, I keep forgetting to do this. So this is kind of a weird situation, but one of my neighbors is friends with a family out in Sparks. He sent me a text, hey, could you use some waiters? So me being me, I said, absolutely, I could use some waiters. Thank you to the mysterious donor who gave me a pile of waiters. One pair has already been put to good use at Pyramid. Dave and I are going to break those things in this upcoming season. But, hey, sincere thanks. I didn't get a name. I didn't get anything except they're a family that hunts, listens to the show in Sparks, and for whatever reason, they had a pile of waiters.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yes, definitely.
So, and shout out to Jamie, my neighbor, for sending me the text and thinking of me on that.
Good job, Jamie.
I appreciate it. Let's see.
Fallon shoot.
Fallon shoot.
How
okay.
was it? Tell me. You went to the Fallon shoot. I was at a family member's wedding in Eugene, Oregon.
So you missed it. I was there. Hey, this is one of those learn from my mistakes. I slid my peep.
You slid it or you bumped it?
Well, I bumped it. It wasn't tied in very tight, I guess. So that threw off the entire first day. I was 6 inches low on everything.
Yeah.
And so why I'm bringing this up is everybody's, hey, you're getting the dust off the bow. You're getting out there because you're going to be one of the ones that draws one of these primitive class tags this season.
Yep.
Don't touch your peep. Make sure it's tied in tightly.
Mark it.
Yeah, you had a good point.
Silver Sharpie. Once you get everything dialed in, mark everything on your bow that can move. Mark it.
And it's not so, I'm sure when I say that, people think like, how did you not notice your peep? Was it a, you know, it was so small. It was just, you know, you kind of adjust and it was.
Yeah.
But I mean, even I'm guessing it maybe an eighth of an inch, but it was just enough. I mean, if that thing moves at all, you're off. You're missing. Let's get into this episode. We're going to talk about fishing.
Yes.
Tis the season. Tis the season.
It is starting to get warm out there. Been out to Pyramid twice. Not so good.
No. We can talk about that coming up after the break.
Yeah.
Pyramid's been garbage. That might be a little bit strong, but hasn't been good.
It's not horribly strong.
Okay. Hey, don't go anywhere. More of Nevada Backcountry coming up after the break. And big thanks to Hunt & House Archery Center for sponsoring the show.
All right, and we are back here in Nevada Backcountry with Henry and myself. We are going to get into some fishing talk right now. It is starting to get to be a little warmer out there. Spring is kind of raising its head, and it is time to get out there and try to catch some trout.
Yeah. So the river has been producing a bunch of good fish.
Yes.
The river is firing on all cylinders right now. Pyramid, like we said at the end of the last segment, it's just sucked. It's been a cold March. Their metabolism is slow. There's talk of shifting bottoms that Pyramid is famous for, so the ledges not being in the same places.
Yeah, something's going on. I've been out twice, and I've watched fish swim right past the ladder. They're there. They're just not interested.
I think part of that is the slow metabolism.
Gluten-free. I don't know.
Yeah, they're vegan.
They're vegan now, gluten-free. Maybe they have a peanut allergy.
Have you seen the drone footage?
No, I haven't.
So, oh gosh, I'm sorry if you were one of the people listening that runs the, it's like a Pyramid Fly Co., Pyramid Fly Company. They've posted some videos. It's pretty interesting with a drone. And you see the just tons of fish, you know, swimming by the ladders and everything.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. They are out there. For whatever reason, it's just been a different kind of year.
Yeah. I'm not complaining about having the opportunity to get out there and enjoy a beautiful morning. I mean, I'm not going to complain about that.
But it'd be nice to catch,
Yeah, once in a while, it'd be nice to lock into something. If not, hey.
It was not a wasted day, but normally during that March, April time frame, I start getting pictures of the big fish.
Yeah. Oh, last year.
Or seeing them come out, you know?
Last year, boy, there were some really big fish that were getting posted.
About this time,
mid-April-ish or so, you're starting to see folks pulling 10-pounders, 12-pounders out.
I have not seen
it. Not so much
it.
This year. Yeah, it's kind of not bittered me to get out there. It's just kind of slowed me down a little bit until I start hearing some better news, like, hey, popcorn's doing good or this place is turning on. Okay, cool. I'm going to head out.
I think I told you I got so my neighbor across the street, he's retired.
Lucky.
So he does the grind out there. And so he's my kind of, hey, it was good. Plan on taking a day off of work to go fish.
Oh, okay. So he's kind of like your fish report.
Exactly. Yep. Nice. He's just said, nah, it's not worth it yet. And I wanted to bring up I don't know if they're shooting themselves in the foot. Look, it's the reservations lake or property or however you want to phrase that. It's the tribe's fishery.
Yes, correct.
So, look, they've got every right to manage it how they see fit, but you know, we're talking about the lower numbers this year out there, and I think part of that is that going to that day rate and getting rid of the season pass.
Yeah, I think that really put a hurting on them. I mean, I don't know. I'm not their finance person. I don't know if they're doing better financially based off that. When they had the year-round pass for whatever it was, $100, $120, whatever it was.
I think it was 80-something the last time. 80, or maybe that was for the veteran thing.
Yeah, probably a veteran thing.
It was like 80-some-odd bucks for me.
Yeah. The last year they did it, whatever that was. So anyway, I think you had a lot more people engaged in being a part of that Pyramid Lake community.
Agreed.
And talking about fishing out there and hit the hot spots and what's hitting and what's not. And should you troll? Should you ladder? Should you cast off the rocks? I mean, it was a lot more vocal community. Now it just seems to be really expensive because you bring a boat, you bring a couple buddies, and there's so many fees now that, it's
you're into it for $100 before you've even figured out what beaches are good.
Yeah, or where you're going to go. Yeah, exactly.
That's why I rely on my neighbor, because now it's whatever it is, $25, $26 or whatnot. But, you know, normally when I would get the annual pass, it was like, I don't care. If I have a terrible day out there, it is what it is. I got all season to figure it out. Now it's like, man, this is expensive and it's going to get spendy.
It makes you second guess. Like, should I really go out there if it's nothing's hitting? Yeah. Even though the gal at Crosby's still makes a fantastic Bloody Mary.
The Bloody Mary is the go-to at Crosby's?
Yeah, that's like, well, that's, you go there, you pay, get your light, all that stuff, and you get a Bloody Mary.
Just one.
But the Bloody Marys are pretty darn good.
That's kind of my gripes. It doesn't seem like it's producing like it has in the past. And talking to old timers, guys that grew up back in the days of standing on milk crates, everybody's kind of scratching their head.
Right now,
fishing rigs, Dave.
Yeah.
There's some changes.
Yeah, there have been some changes to the fishing rigs. So for the Western region here, there have been some changes. Like, the seasonal closures have been eliminated. These bodies of water now are open year-round to fish.
Okay.
So that's like Big Springs Reservoir, Onion Valley Reservoir, Blue Lakes, and Catnip Reservoir.
Catnip too.
Yeah,
okay.
They're all open year-round now. So their closure dates have been eliminated, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's great news. Okay.
Yeah. So, and then there's some possession limits. Will be 2 times the daily limit of the body of water in which you're fishing.
Okay, so similar to Upland Birds.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you're fishing a 2 limit, you're going to have 4 in possession. So there are some bodies of water now that you can use bait fish, but the fish have to come from the body of water in which you were fishing.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so you just can't go pick up fish at Petco.
Cold fish are the thing.
Yeah, and then, you know, take them out to...
Is that mostly like a Southern Nevada thing?
Pretty much, yeah. It's basically, most of it's all in Southern Nevada.
Because that's kind of where I would picture that kind of stuff going on. I got to be honest, I don't think...
Yeah, well, like Rye Patch, you can use bait fish.
Oh, you can in Rye Patch.
Yeah, Rye Patch, Chimney Reservoir.
So there is some stuff in our neck of the woods.
Yeah, a little Humboldt River. It's all on the Endow website under fishing regs.
You know, okay.
Get in there and... There's a section that's like 2024 regulation changes, and they're all highlighted. What we're talking about are just some of the meat and potato ones that most anglers, like I've never really done bait fishing.
No.
I've always been kind of a fly fisherman and a troller.
Hey, that's what I do with my kids. Hey, even though it's fly equipment, stick it out of the back of the boat.
Yeah.
When something starts tugging on it.
Oh, man.
Let it rip.
We used to use fly rods trolling at Pyramid Lake as well as Tahoe back in the day. And we would use, I haven't done it in a while, but we called them Vegas showgirls.
You've talked about that before. Yeah, yeah, like a big streamer thing.
Yeah, because they had like big old feathers on them. They just like a Vegas showgirl hat. Man, those things were just murdering fish.
Sinking line and run them out there.
Intermediate line or a sinking line, you know, troll at a certain speed, let out about 60 feet. And when you locked into something on a fly ride trolling, it was like you just caught orca or something. It was it was fantastic. So, but those are some of the big reg changes that are going on right now for the Western region. There are some other changes for like the Eastern region. Like the Ruby Lake National Wildlife Refuge. The daily limit on trout increased from 3 trout to 5 now.
Good news.
Good place to get out there and fish anyway.
Ruby marshes are incredible. Oh, yeah.
It's such a great place out there. Willow Creek Reservoir and Wilson Sink Reservoir out there in Elko County. The size limit for bass has been removed, and both reservoirs now fall under the Eastern Region General Regulations.
Okay.
So they've been completely eliminated. It doesn't have its own specific regulation any longer. So that's been a good thing. So those are the two big changes for Eastern Region.
What about stocking stuff, Dave? You said they've been stocking pretty regularly right now.
Yeah. Oh, man. The stocking for the last, like in April, the list is pretty long of what they've been stocking. And all these fish are coming out of Mason Valley Wildlife Management Area, the Mason Valley Fish Hatchery.
Okay.
So kudos to everyone that's working out there and growing these fish and getting them out to all these locations. They're traveling every day hundreds of miles to get fish into these bodies of water for all of our enjoyment and to get our kids out there to learn about fishing and the outdoors. So again, thank you so much, Mason Valley Hatchery, for keeping up all the good work. So
let's go through the list, but I'm looking at the clock here.
Yeah, cranking it out.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have the stocking updates from Dave. And big thanks to Legacy Sports International for sponsoring the show. The Howa Superlight is now Howa Superlight. They've come out with a short-barreled version, 4.3 pounds. And I got an email from Andy McCormick over there. The groups they're getting out of these things, running suppressors on them, absolutely incredible. Talking about like a half-inch gun. Go check them out. It's the Howa Superlight from Legacy Sports International. You're listening to Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and Lyon County's 92.3 FM Talk. And today is the spring fishing episode, we'll call it. A little bit of a departure from the normal hunting content we do. My brain has gone full fishing. It's sunny. It's warm. I want to be outside, preferably with a cold beer in my back pocket and a fly rod in my hand.
I agree with you. I've been out in the shop going through all my fly rods,
getting
and
everything
reels,
ready.
Making sure I've got all my different reels ready to rock and roll. And so, yeah, I'm hoping to hit a little bit this weekend. Let's get into some stocking report stuff.
Yes, that's where we left off. Good news, right?
Yeah,
good news mostly.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Mason Valley's been hauling fish like crazy. Some of the big ones right now, Eagle Valley Reservoir, Rainbow Trout, 15,000 fish have been planted in there so far the month of April. We've also got Walker River. They get dumped off at the Elbow, and they get over near Wasatchi and such. We're looking at 3,800 fish have been released out there. A lot of places for the kids. So you got kids that are jonesing to get out and do some fishing, toss out the old power bait with a bobber, and just let the kids have a great time, play in the mud, eat a little dirt, and wait for that bobber to move. You got Davis Creek Pond. They've put about 1,100 fish in there. And all of this is just all April stuff, Henry. This is just what they've done so far this month of April.
Yeah.
So Davis Creek Pond, easy to access. Bailey Fishing Pond, which is out there in Carson, dumped about 1,000 fish in there so far. And then Wilson Common, which is out Washoe Valley.
Yeah.
Going out there, Washoe Valley, on the right-hand side there is kind of like out in the middle of nowhere. My kids used to love going out there because there's like a little grassy park area that they can run and trip and scar themselves. So, and Wilson Commons is looking at, they've dumped about 700 fish in that little body of water.
That's
a lot of fish for that.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I was like, 700 fish in that little
thing? What size are we talking? Does it have the size?
So these are all probably in the 8-inch to 12-inch range.
Ton of fun for kids. Yeah.
Fabulous for kids. They're going to be digging it. So Carson River, brown trout got dumped in there, 3,100 of those. Topaz Canal. If anyone's been out there, the canal coming in, a little over 2,000 out there. Jake's Creek Reservoir, rainbow trout. There's 1,200 there. Echo Canyon, rainbows, 5,500 fish.
What about Maryland's Pond?
Maryland's Pond. I do not see Maryland's Pond on my list.
Okay, that used to be my go-to after work.
Yeah, for the kids, because you're right down the street there.
Yep, I just rip right over there. It's perfect for the kids, but it's a little teeny tiny pond. Yeah. I have noticed in the last probably 3-4 years, it gets packed.
Oh, it gets hammered.
I used to be able to rip up there with Madeline. We'd catch a few fish, go home. Maybe there were 2 or 3 other people there. Now it's like you got to elbow your way in to even see the water.
Yeah, especially, you know, when that fishing report comes out that there's fish there, the whole entire local southern community goes bonkers. I mean, they grab the little ones and they're up there.
Well, and here's, okay, so I've been cautioned by members of my family before that I can come across as a little bit lectury. So I don't want to lecture, but I'm just going to throw this out there. Everybody should have an opportunity to fish. But if I'm trying to find a spot for my 6-year-old kid and you're a grown man that looks like you just walked out of an Orvis catalog, like, go to the truckee, man. Come on. Like, let my kid toss a bobber out there and try to catch an 8-inch fish.
Right.
Why do you have $3,000 worth of crap on to catch an 8-inch silver bullet? Thing's got no color because it just came out of the hatchery. Like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
Let the kids. Yeah. That, anyway, I mean, off my soapbox.
Right. I mean, and Maryland's Pond, you know, Bailey Pond and Wilson Common, those are great places to take the kids.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know. I agree with you on that.
Okay.
When you do go there and you've got those situations, it's like, seriously?
The banks are lined with grown-ups with every piece of kid imaginable. And you're going,
right,
man, my kid in her like Hello Kitty slip-on shoes would like to try to catch a fish, man.
Right. SpongeBob fishing reel.
Exactly.
You know, Zebco.
Exactly. SpongeBob. There's my gripe about that.
Yeah, there it is. But Sparks Marina, they dumped 2,500 tiger trout in there. If you've ever caught a tiger trout, they are really fun to catch.
Oh, absolutely.
And Ruby Lake, the National Wildlife Refuge, those were probably planted by the Ruby Fish Hatchery out there.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but there's dumped a little over 400 rainbow trout in there. So there's plenty of fishing going on. There's going to be a lot more planting going on over the month of May and June. It'll start slowing down as it really starts warming up. There's lots of opportunity. It's going to be a really good time. There's some cool stuff coming up, too. You've got a couple classes coming up. If you're interested in fly fishing or just want to get the kids out to some of these fishing derbies, you got the Yerington Kids Fishing Derby coming up, the local pond there. It is going to be on May 4th, starting at 8 a.m., You also have the Carson City Kids Fishing Derby, which is going to be also on the 4th, another fishing day, as well as you got an introduction to fly fishing at Cabela's Reno on the 4th. Those are really cool classes, some of those introduction to fly fishing. If you've got a kid or your wife or you.
Spouse, or
even you, if you, you know, want to get into it. First started, I thought it looked easy. I'm like, oh, dude, you just kind of wing this thing back and forth. Yeah. And I can't tell you how many flies I snapped off. I mean, geez, oh, Murray.
And the knots.
Man, I probably went through $200 in flies before I realized, pipe down there, Zorro.
Yeah.
Slow it down.
You were ribbon dancing?
Oh, man, it was nuts. There's a 2-day course for introduction to fly fishing on May 10th and 11th. The big one.
Where's that one at?
That's here in Reno.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you can get on the NDAL website and register for these classes. It's on their fishing calendar. They'd also give you all of the places where they're stocking and what they've stocked and then all of their really cool classes that are coming up.
And I would encourage people listening, there are plenty of people out there, guys that want to get into it. Hey, go check these courses out. I elected, my wife wanted to get into fly fishing. She took like a 2-day introductory course. It was perfect because you didn't have me standing there. Remember the lectury thing we talked about?
Yes.
Yeah. You didn't have me standing there trying to correct her. It was perfect. She went, she had a great time. She made some friends and she came out a fairly competent fly fisher. Yeah.
And probably cast better than you do now.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, tried teaching my wife how to golf. That lasted almost an entire lesson. But something here that is really cool. It is called Save Cummins Lake. It's called the Pike Out.
I read about this, Dave. Yeah.
It's going to be on the 11th of May. But get out there, man. It sounds like it's going to be a blast.
So let me ask you, you opened
the door.
The door here. how many times they have to poison Davis. I mean, once Pike are in there, they are darn near impossible to get out.
They're pretty tough. It's pretty difficult to get out. And this is, I mean, this particular event's not going to completely eliminate Pike out of Cummins. Right. This is just merely
trying to incentivize, get people out there.
Get people out there. Try to pull out as many as you can. And then, you know, just continue with different management practices to move that stake a little bit further. Getting them completely out, I think the only way you can really do that is you dry something up and leave it dry for a year or so.
And dry just, like nothing. Bone dry.
Yeah, their big issue with Davis was it's a big lake.
Yep.
And they had little itty-bitty ponds.
Those back eddies and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Little areas that were dug out and just these little cavities of water that were 3 feet deep.
Pike will, but they'll survive.
They lived in that stuff. And then when they filled the lake back up a couple months later, they were like, sweet, I'm the king of the castle now. Yeah, so it makes it tough. And
I'm not knocking them. Man, Pike,
they're a heck of
a fun game fish.
Yeah, I'm trying to get rid of carp.
If you just want to catch fish, carp on a fly rod is about as much fun as you can have with your pants on. It's awesome.
And there's a carp derby coming up on June 1st at Lahontan Reservoir.
Oh, very cool.
8 a.m. it starts. I know you like that because your daughter is just...
I showed you a picture over the break of her with like a 12-pound.
That thing was almost as big as her.
Yeah,
There's a lot of cool opportunities for family events out there, you know, for fishing and just being out in the outdoors. Get on there, check them out. They're going to be a blast. I'm probably be at a couple of these.
I've heard carp is pretty good table fare. If you guys want... Text in. You've had it?
I've had carp. I have a friend who is an avid fisherman and loves, like you were saying, loves catching carp on a fly rod. And, you know, he says, as long as you get that mud vein out. And I'm like, don't tell me about it. Just hand me a piece. Because it is. It's actually really good.
Okay. I've always heard that.
I think it's the preparation.
They're bony too, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, you've got it. Obviously, this person did it because it was just like little itty bitty chunk. And they were tender, and they were so bloody good.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's end this segment on this note. We've got some Alps Outdoors backpacks to give away. An awesome hunting pack. It comes with the Blaze Orange rain cover. The best carp recipe that gets texted in.
Oh,
775-884-9910. Text us your best carp recipe.
With instructions on how to process the fish itself.
We'll do a taste test.
Yeah.
I'll catch a few, keep a few, and you will be automatically entered to win an Alps Outdoors backpack. I got to take some pictures, post them to social media, just kind of behind the eight ball on that. That's the challenge laid down to the listeners. I want your carp recipe. Send it in 775-884-9910. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about fishing gear, new stuff on the market.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. If you're just joining us, the show is Nevada Backcountry, hosted by David Catalano and myself, Henry Evans. Where we left off there, I said we were going to talk about new fishing gear. And while there is some cool stuff, you reminded me over the break, Dave, we just bought some muzzle loaders.
Yeah, we did.
That's what we should talk about.
Yeah, and some of you may have seen it on our Instagram post, us at Shields, and Henry and his absolutely stunning overall
outfit,
Crocs flip-flops. I'm not sure what that was, but...
Those are my Chacos, man.
Yeah. Boy, you turned heads. Yeah. You turned heads. You look good. You look good.
Well, we were texting back and forth, and you said, hey, I'm going to go over. And I kind of thought, great weekend to do it. I had been out dealing with irrigation stuff in my yard. And news flash for those of you that don't know me, I look like I just came out of the Appalachians when I am not at work.
Yes.
If it gets too hot, I'll do the overalls and no shirt. I'm usually in some sort of footwear that my bare feet are exposed.
Yeah. You look like Jethro.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So that's how I live.
Yeah. Look good though.
You sent me that text and I thought, hey, heck yeah, man, let's go get some muzzle loaders. And then thinking it through and not being very social media savvy, I was like, all right, kids, load up. We're hopping in the car. We've been on the tractor. We've been fooling with irrigation stuff. You busted out your phone to take some Instagram videos.
Heck yeah, man. We gotta get some social media out there.
I know.
And I thought, this is perfect.
Everybody gets a real Henry on these ones.
Exactly. And now they get to see, you know, how we are.
It's not a good look for me. You, of course, you always show up dressed nice, Dave.
I show up dressed.
Yeah. Is that the distinction? So anyway, we bought some muzzle loaders. Now, what we're going to do is kind of a, not a standing series, but we're just going to kind of dive into this and we're going to take everybody listening along for the ride, warts and all.
Yes.
You know, so if we get out there and we shoot a 12-inch group at 50 yards, hey, that's what we got. I'm open to suggestions from listeners. Take us through, what'd you pick out, Dave?
You know, I picked out the CVA Optima V2, the basic one, the black synthetic stock.
How it comes
with the standard iron sight.
Yep.
You went to the next level, but except for the same gun.
Same exact gun, yeah.
But so this is what we're kind of doing here. I've got just the basic gun right out of the box. I'm going to shoot it. Henry took the same thing, basic gun out of the box, but he's putting on a Williams peep.
Williams sights. Gun sights, the upgraded.
Like, yeah, like the one that everyone's talking about, as well as our guest last week was talking about. Like, so we got that, and then we went ahead and we just kind of got crazy there with all of the different powders and bullets and 209 caps. I mean,
we got a bunch of stuff to test, and that's one thing I was going to bring up. I went ahead, I installed the Williams gun sights.
Oh, you did? You already did it?
Oh, I already did it. So I'll tell you, they are nice. I'll leave my cheap seats opinion up
until
there in the cheap seats until I shoot it.
Yeah.
Because I will say, the stock sights that come with it, I was looking at those, and they're not bad at all.
No, I mean, they're fiber optic.
Colton kept talking up that, hey, you want to take it to 200 yards, get the Williams gun sights. They had them at Shields, so I went ahead and picked up a set. I also installed you need a special primer cap for loose powder. And we got some loose powder, and then we got some pellets. So here's what I thought, Dave. You leave yours with the pellet cap installed. We'll try yours with the pellets first.
Yeah.
And then we'll try mine with the Williams and the loose powder, and then we can swap. That'll be the deal, is we'll go back and forth.
We got the Blackhorn powder.
Yep.
The high-end Blackhorn powder.
That sucker was spendy, man.
Dude, from what they say, you can shoot 20 times without having to clean it, so that's got to be some pretty good powder. But then we went ahead and got the 777.
Yep.
Then we bought,
IMR White Hots, I think they were called?
Yeah, IMR White Hot pellets.
Yep.
So we got a box of those, and then we bought three different kinds of bullets. We bought a 240-grain Hornady.
FTXs.
The bore driver. Then we also got another one, which had that longer conical tip. So we had to get that special tool in order to
push it down. Those are the Hornady ELDX.
ELDX bullets.
Yep.
And all of this stuff, we just didn't randomly start picking things off the wall. This was all This was all equipment that was recommended by Colton of muzzle-loader.com. So get on that website. Insane amount of information. Probably
more information than
you really want. If you get into it too deep, you're going to go, oh, forget this. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
When he dumbed it down and said just this, and he just kind of gave us a bullet point, grab this stuff. That's what we did. And then we got lead bullets, like your standard.
Yeah, so basically we did good, better, best.
Right.
We worked up.
Power balls or power.
Power built or
power
something.
Power built bullets.
Yep. You know, the inexpensive, I think it was $12.99.
Yeah, for those bullets, all the way up to
I think the ELDX more. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they were $30 some odd bucks.
Yeah, $32. So we've acquired all of this cool stuff, and we're going to have everybody go through the journey with us. We're going to put it on the Instagram as we fumble through it. If there's any major editing, that's probably because we probably screwed something up and we didn't want you to see it.
I want them to see it. That's the whole point of this is, you know, both of us can, when you're very competent at one thing, and I'm just being both you and I can pick up just about any bow and shoot it fairly well.
Yeah.
Out to about 100 yards.
Give or take.
Right. So I get that there's an inherent kind of blind spot there.
Yeah.
For me, where I'm just kind of used to like, oh no, I could shoot a prime and whatever when it comes to archery stuff. With the muzzleloader stuff, I'm willing to say, hey, I don't know anything about this. I've literally shot one time. I don't know anything about it. I'm willing to kind of throw myself out there and say, hey, look, if I goof it up, I goof it up. You guys tell me where I went wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be a really cool adventure. And then if we end up pulling some tags this year,
I'm going to put it to use. Yeah.
I didn't buy it just to have it sit in the safe.
No, me neither. Hey, back on you started talking about the muzzle-loaders.com. I want to put this out there because I started looking. Colton wasn't kidding. When it comes to pressure tests, you name it, all the scientific granular data you could ever want on muzzle loading, they've got it.
Oh, man.
I was looking at it and it is almost overwhelming. Where it's like, well, wait a second. I'm using this primer. Does this primer work with this powder?
It's not almost for me. It is completely overwhelming. Yeah. When they start getting into the different grain sizes, like the FFG and the FFFFG.
And ignition rates.
Ignition rate. Yeah. I'm like, I checked out too much.
I backed out and I just went to their basic muzzle loading for beginner. They've got like a 9-step thing. Do this, then this, then this, then this. That was perfect. That's enough to get me started.
Yeah. That's the part I understood.
Same here.
Yeah.
I'm interested, how hard do I press the bullet into it?
I'm kind of curious about that because he had mentioned
cracking the pellets.
The issue with the pellets is that you can get a different burn rate, which in turn will affect the trajectory of your bullet.
And accuracy.
And the accuracy of your bullet. If you press down too hard with pellets and end up cracking a pellet.
Well, I want you to do some digging at work and ask the guy you work with about this and ask him just a general, are we talking about like break an egg, pat an egg,
or powder an egg?
Or completely obliterate. How hard am I sticking that thing down there?
Yeah. I mean, once it's down nice and tight, you just keep like pounding it.
Give it
like
a couple love taps.
Give it a little love taps on it and then say, okay, let's.
If you guys listening, if you've got tips on muzzleloader stuff for Dave and I, if you say like, hey, yeah, you want to imagine squishing an orange when you push that thing down, give me some idea of what we're supposed to be doing here. Send us a text. The number is 775-884-9910. Man, it's time to get out of here, Dave.
I was just having some fun.
We're talking about smashing eggs.
Yeah.
Thank you sincerely to our show sponsors, Legacy Sports International and Hunt & House Archery Shop. Don't go anywhere. Maybe Tom Gresham will have some muzzle loading tips coming up next at 11.